It took 14 full years for Brad Bird to get a sequel done, but when he did, it made all the money. And then it lost its Oscar to a real superhero. But seriously, all the money was made by The Incredibles 2, which was the number one movie in America.
Da 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 da.
The number one movie in America. Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
It is the number one movie in America. My name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with an unimpressive 80s rock band full of movie analysts.
If it was only to me.
That's right. I forgot what we did last week.
Did you, Aaron, watch Oh God, You Devil?
Oh, yeah.
What? That band? What? How is that band? Anyway.
You have all of their stuff, don't you?
No. Wasn't that a made-up band?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
What was it? I'm trying
poorly
to remember.
Made up.
Was it Billy Wayne?
That sounds right.
I
yes.
almost said Billy Squire. That's, oh, yeah. No, that's a real guy.
That's a real guy.
He's real.
He's
yeah,
got
that's,
some beats.
That was definitely one of those where you're like, this band would not exist in the real world.
No.
Do you see that new, there's like a Cialis commercial or something like that where they have this like.
And Billy Wayne is
this,
playing?
No, it's like a band with a girl who's mm-hmm. the lead singer. And she's, I don't know, she has like health problems and can't like perform. I'm not offending.
Oh, is this the one where like Cyndi Lauper is also kind of there?
No.
It's Cialis commercial.
She's also like, she's schlepping something.
It's probably not Cialis.
No, I don't know what it is.
I don't even know what Cialis means. What is Cialis?
Cialis is erectile dysfunction.
I don't know. This girl has itchy skin. I don't know.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper's on the skin.
Hi, I'm Cyndi Lauper. And girls want to have fun, but girls can't have fun. If you can't, anyway.
If you're itchy. No, it was, I don't even know, no, but it was the worst stock photo band yeah. of all. It was.
Oh, wait, and then she's like, hold on.
Yes.
Can we take a break?
Yeah, and then they're out there in front of a music festival, and they're like, where the fuck is Tina?
Yeah.
Like, this is.
She's trying to poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, I think one it was of those. Like. Oh my God. Like, I can't play the South Park Rib Fest because I got the poops.
We have already covered the Oh God trilogy, all that I want to.
Hey, I'm back.
Forever. Aaron's here. Did you like them? Can you explain why those are good? Because none of the three of us can.
No. I once again, I think it goes decades back that most audiences are stupid.
Yeah, that's it.
And if they're like, what? George Burns is Jesus Part 2? I'm in!
Yeah. I think that then, probably played very well.
And that was one of the dupes. There's a lot of dupes. Mm-hmm. A lot of sequels are, you know, ride off the coattails of that first one, and they're like, let's cash in.
Okay. Which maybe we can talk about our current.
Hey, how about that? Well, I'll do the numbers. We'll get
which
to the
Incredibles
numbers.
Which Incredibles did correctly.
Well, we'll see. Okay. We'll talk about it. I want to hear everyone's take on the Incredibles franchise before I get to all of these crazy numbers. But first, we have to get to a 60-second recap of the events of The Incredibles 2. Robin Hitchcock is up.
All right.
Let me get to the clock.
I'm coming in unprepared, yet also hot, because I literally finished the movie, got in my car, and drove over.
Okay.
Awesome. Fresh.
So, I mean,
fresh eyes.
You know, if you just describe Captain America Civil War, we're pretty much there. Anyway, ready?
Mm-hmm.
And go.
All right, so Incredibles 2 starts immediately after the first one, and so they're fighting the Underminer, and, you know, it goes wrong. Things break because that's what happens with superheroes. They get in trouble. They get arrested. The guy who was their minder is retiring, and then Bob Odenkirk and Catherine Keener as creepy siblings come up, and they're like, hey, we're going to hire you, Elastigirl, specifically to be a superhero with a camera, body cam, so people know that you're good. She saves a runaway train. Meanwhile, Mr. Incredible is being Mr. Mom, and he kind of sucks at it. And then Jack-Jack has powers, which you know from the last movie and from the short Jack-Jack Attack. Edna Mode shows up a little bit too long, kind of overstays her welcome. There's a hypnotist person. Screens are bad. Don't watch screens, said people who make millions of dollars off of you watching screens. It's mind-controlled superheroes. The family fights together. There's a cruise ship. It crashes. But puberty. At the end of the day, they win, yeah. Oh, and there's this whole subplot about this Tony Ride and your kid. Boy. Goodness gracious. He's not worth it, Violet.
Robin, that's your second consecutive failure. I'm sorry to say. If I were to give feedback, it's that once you start editorializing in the recap, then you pass the 60-second mark. That's the thing. I agree with you. He's not worth it, Violet.
No.
But I got a minute 12.
I stand by everything I said.
Yeah, that's fine. I might have to step back because I don't really care about The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I saw when it came out, I liked it. It didn't land with me on a deep level.
Wow.
Like, my Pixar from that era is Finding Nemo. Like, that's the one that I loved and thought really connected. And Incredibles, I was like, this is good.
Hmm.
Incredibles 2, this is the second time I saw it. I liked it a little bit more than the first. I think it's really well done, not necessarily great in general.
I'm with you. I don't care about this, The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I saw the first one. I remember liking it. I did not have the energy to watch it again before this one. I saw it a bajillion years ago, and then I watched this one like several times. We were watching it when we were in Florida during the adoption stuff, and I watched it like out of order in like different pieces. So I had to go back and watch it again. But like, I mean, it's good. But I don't have it. It doesn't live on my spirit.
Yeah.
So.
I mentioned this last week. I love The Incredibles. That is. And probably always will be like my number one Pixar jam. I just think it's so good. I did watch it again through great personal duress because I popped into the exchange at like 6:55 on a Sunday and I was like, "Do you have The Incredibles?" And they were like, "Yes." And I was like, "I'll take the cheapest one." And then I bought it without realizing it was a full screen DVD.
Oh no.
How do they? Why are they selling?
Right?
How dare they? How dare
they?
They should have given you a disclaimer
to line bird cages at this
right,
point.
That was irresponsible for the exchange.
So, and I didn't have my receipt because I like popped in and out, and then the next day I went to a different exchange and I was like, "Look,
do I even need to say anything?"
And
this full screen?
You should just slide it across the desk, be like, "Look what Squirrel Hill gave."
I was like, "I accidentally bought this yesterday, and I don't have a receipt, but I need a different one." And he just did a straight exchange. Thank you, gentlemen.
I mean, the name of the store is The Exchange.
Yes.
And we're like, "Oh, we're prepared for
Thank
this.
Thank you. Anyway.
And if he works there and he doesn't get it,
right,
you're fired.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You're fired.
They, like you said, they, why are they even selling
why?
This?
Right.
I mean, I guess some people might have old-time.
Because somebody's grandma died.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Right.
So anyway, I did rewatch it. Again, I was like, okay, yes, this is as good as I remember it. The one thing I don't like about Incredibles, like Incredibles would be on our 100-point scale, that would be like a 98 for me.
Holy crap.
But I bump it down to a 90 because there's that weird fascism stuff in it. Like the theme of The Incredibles is don't let special people be told that other people are important. It's like,
that is a reach. That is... What glasses are you wearing today? Holy moly.
They repeat over and over again.
Do you have Senate hearings later?
If everyone's special, then no one is.
Oh my
right?
Goodness.
And the bad guy's whole deal is that he's going to give normal people access to superpowers so that people with actual superpowers won't be cool anymore. And I'm not cool with that. That's fucked up.
I think basically every like idea that's presented in one of these movies is weak.
Yes.
Starting with that one. Like, the forgivable version is, what's the name of that Kurt Vonnegut story? Harrison Bergeron?
I know what you're talking about. He's really strong, so they, like, weigh him down.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a world where everyone is, like, handicapped for anything that makes them better than anybody else.
They give him bad vision.
That is the good version of still kind of a crappy argument.
Yeah.
And Incredibles 1 is the version of that crappy argument. The second one, we'll get into it. I have a lot of thoughts on the second one. Aaron, you probably like these movies.
Very much so.
Okay, there you go.
I like them a lot.
Right.
I Incredibles is just my vibe. Like, yeah. I love the
Same.
Art, the music, everything. It's up there in 90s for sure.
Yeah.
There was a couple, like, dark scenes that I thought in the second one.
Mm.
How do your kids react to, like, the,
Ooh, good question.
The tasing cage fight, for one?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, like,
oh, there's,
the,
yeah.
The break-in.
Yeah, and there's, you know what? I think there are certain things, like I mentioned on this podcast and the previous one. Like, we always talk about, like, my kids. There was a reason why my kids didn't watch quite a few Marvel movies. It's just because of, like, gun violence.
Right.
And, you know, there's certain stuff that peril is a little too scary.
Right.
But there's some stuff where it's just like, these are heroes fighting. Like, mm-hmm. This is something that, like, they should see in a safer way,
mm-hmm.
other than you know, I don't, do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, you can't not have them not watch anything.
Yeah, right. Well, if you, you listen to the screen slaver, your kids are being...
Right. That is a terrible name.
I'm so
That is a draft
it.
One name.
Right, that is a minus 15 points kind of name.
The screen slaver?
I got a chuckle
actually,
out of it.
Actually,
like
it's,
it.
I mean, the style and writing style and the vibe of the whole entire... Is it's very 1950s Batman?
Yeah, it's a,
absolutely.
What it's sounding?
It's perfect. Screenslaver is perfect. It's like
Underminer is perfect. Screenslaver
same
is
thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's very. I don't.
Part of
I'm just
reason,
saying they did a good job of what they were going to do.
Part of the reason that I don't like the name is that it is play off of screensaver, which is not a thing that existed in the vague time period that they are depicting, okay. Right? They've got this, like, you know, they leave it purposefully ambiguous, but essentially this is the 1960s. And
you sound like a producer sitting critiquing their script, and all the writers are like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm just being honest.
Listen.
No, I'm with
in
you.
In another life, that would be,
exactly.
I would be really good at that.
It's like, yeah. So what did the producers say? Screensavers weren't invented in the 50s.
Let's get to the numbers.
They call me Faxy for a reason.
Let's, you are. I love it.
Who calls you Faxy?
Let's.
Why don't I call you Faxy?
Why don't you have
you
a logo?
Now.
Let's cut this tension with some facts. Faxy.
Yay,
here are the numbers on The Incredibles 2. It was released June 15th of 2018. That is just about a year ago. In fact, exactly a year ago, as you're hearing this. The 13th number one film of the year, it won the weekend with a staggering $182.7 million. It would eventually make $608.5 million, still only the third highest grossing film of last year, behind Black Panther and Infinity War.
Wild.
Wow.
But let's talk about that weekend. That was the ninth biggest weekend of all time, was the opening weekend of Incredibles 2. Everything ahead of it on the list is either an Avengers, a Star Wars, Black Panther, or Jurassic World. Those are the only movies that ever had a bigger weekend.
Black Panther's an Avengers, right? Or you mean specifically in Avengers?
Specifically in
not
Avengers.
Not even just a Marvel.
No, not even just a Marvel. Only the Avengers, a couple of the core Avengers movies, Black Panther, a couple of the Star Wars, and Jurassic World. Obviously, that makes it the biggest opening ever for an animated film, the biggest opening ever for a film rated PG. And Incredibles 2 is the most successful animated film of all time. It has that by more than $100 million. Finding Dory is number two at $486 million. This also makes Incredibles 2 the 10th highest grossing film of all time, which I don't feel like we noticed.
It feels like this movie has already dropped out of the public consciousness.
And it's the 10th biggest movie of all time.
Right. It doesn't seem like because I was kind of like, oh, yeah, they made a second one.
Yeah.
Well, I think it says a little bit about, you know, we've talked about this in the past. Sean and I talk about this personally all the time, is movie marketing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Movie marketing has gone insane. Yeah. It's like, it's probably with social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously with social media and the way information is moved now.
Right.
I mean, now it's just like everything is the biggest of all time.
Right. Yeah.
Like everything, you know, when you're like, wait, that movie won the weekend, which is why we're doing this podcast.
Right.
Right.
Like now, I think, I mean, now if you look after, you know, 2005, I think the number one movies got better.
Sure.
Because of, you know, marketing better movies and bigger studios and things like that.
Right.
But I mean, it makes sense, but it's also not like it doesn't deserve it, but it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's not necessarily because it's like, oh, this like opus.
Plus, I would say that's probably one of the most anticipated sequels.
Well, yeah,
Toy Story. I mean,
you waited 14 years.
It's a pretty big movie.
And so seriously, the first one was 14 years ago?
Yes,
2004.
When I saw it in the theater, they had like a little bumper before where they were like, guys, writing a movie is hard. I'm sorry it took us 14 years, but it's a lot of work.
Oh, that's right. It was Brad Bird.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, that's right.
And Holly Hunter, like all the actors were there being like, it's a lot of work.
Oh my God.
But isn't it fascinating that with this animation, it did get a little bit better because my kids and I watched them back to back.
Yeah.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's pretty fascinating. It's like it doesn't miss a beat. And it's almost 15 years. That's pretty
dope. I gotta say, I'm also super impressed with the casting of Dash, who by my favorite character by far. I love Dash.
Yeah.
They had to get a different kid to play Dash because the kid who played Dash before
like
is a grown-up.
Yeah, he's a lawyer now. Who knows?
I think he did do a voice.
Yeah, but he's not Dash, right?
Right. No, no, right.
So they found a really good sound-alike. And it's a weird kind of raspy kid voice.
We're dead! We're dead! We're dead! We're dead! Launch the rocket! Launch the I'm not watching anything.
Mm-hmm. I just got his name.
Oh, and also, I mean,
yes. it's a pun.
I mean, one thing that my little baby girl, 3 years old, now four, she now is obsessed with Jack-Jack and fighting because of Jack-Jack and the Raccoon. Which is one of the best, funniest scenes I've ever seen.
Just the whole thing where Jack-Jack thinks he's a robber because of his face.
Not today, Satan. I'm going to get you.
Hilarious.
But I do have to say, watching them close to back-to-back, I think that one of the cutest things in the world is On Fire Jack-Jack in the first Incredibles.
Yes.
But then On Fire Jack-Jack in Incredibles 2, they lose all that charm.
I know what
you mean. I'm going to do a side-by-side screenshot.
Until he gets the lavender foam.
Yes.
Then
yes.
It's adorable again.
True.
Incredibles 2, globally, more than $1.2 billion. Globally, it's the 16th highest grossing film of all time. Only the second highest grossing animated film. Frozen still has it beat by like $35 million. Frozen was weirdly big in a couple markets. I think Frozen's the biggest film of all time in Japan or something like that. If I'm wrong about that, that's not the episode we're talking about, so I don't have to know anything. Obviously, that makes Incredibles 2 the number one Pixar movie of all time, and this is a good time to look at that before Toy Story 4 comes out, because at this point, there have been 20 Pixar movies. Huh. And they all make a lot of money, but interestingly, they all hit this really, like, they all make between $200 and $350 million. That is 15 out of the 20 of them are in that window. The only outliers, the bottom of the list, the original Toy Story, it was a long time ago, made 191. Cars 2 made 191. Bugs Life made 162. Cars 3, 152.
What about The Good Dinosaur?
And the one no one remembers, The Good Dinosaur.
Bugs Life is very good.
I love The Bugs Life.
We too.
Good Dinosaur was good too. It was just sad. Mm. That was the thing. 123 million.
We love Pixar movies at home. We love them.
The top of the list is Incredibles 2, followed by Finding Dory at 486, and Toy Story 3 at 415.
I'm really glad that you mentioned Finding Dory, because it does put this movie into context as a not horrible movie, because Finding Dory was awful.
I have no memories of Finding Dory. I'm sure I reviewed it. I couldn't tell you what I said about it. I just don't remember anything.
It's not great. I mean, watching it with our kids as parents, you're like, okay, this is not as great, you know. But Finding Nemo and Cars, those are their two toddler movies. Those are specifically their toddler movies. So when they went to Finding Dory, it's very much just because I consume so much toddler entertainment.
More toddler movies.
Finding Dory is super toddlery. It's almost like a Dora the Explorer episode.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
So as a parent, I'm like, okay, we'll watch this, sure.
Normally, like, Pixar does such a nice job of like the Sesame Street entertaining thing us of too. Here's the level for the grown-ups.
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like they gave up on that for whatever reason.
Well, and with Cars 2 and 3.
So
yeah, oh yeah.
I never saw Cars 2
and Planes.
Which is not Pixar.
Planes is not
Disney.
Pixar.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Oh, my gosh.
Push up my glasses a bit, but
they
are in the shared universe.
Yeah. Yes, right. There's going to be crossover.
Okay, so can we talk about Incredibles 2 for a second? It's not funny.
No, not
at all.
Hmm.
Right?
We just talked about the Jack-Jack stuff.
I thought the raccoon scene with Jack-Jack was funny. And I also, like, you talk about Edna overstaying her welcome, but I like the thing when he comes back hilarious. To get him and he's like mimicking her as they're walking down the hallway. Yeah.
I love that Jack-Jack is the comic relief.
Yeah.
But you're right. There was so much more kind of friendliness. Like, what's
Maybe
the word I'm looking for?
I mean.
I know what you mean.
It's like this one feels like kind of a bummer.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean, I feel it when I watch it with my kids.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, this is a serious part.
Right.
Like, there wasn't as many serious parts. They tried to complicate the plot a little bit more.
Well, yeah, we got a whole lot of, you know, male fragility happening.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
And then there's all, you know,
did they write this script in 2005?
Right.
Like, why is it so...
Why is a whole bunch of this about dads don't know how to parent? What the hell?
I think they're I mean, I think they're just saying, like, hey, look, let's do this. I don't know. I mean,
I saw
you really
Mr.
Think...
Mom,
right?
You know,
right.
Like 35 years ago when I was a baby.
Yeah, it's definitely not a trope that's used. It's kind of like, yeah, we get it, but once again, I'm going to go to the audiences. We get it. We get it. We're like the 1% of entertainment consumers.
So it's interesting you say 1%, like, though, because one of the things that really struck me is this whole thing of, like, which parent's going to be the breadwinner and which one's going to be the one at home. That's not a realistic situation for most people.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, like...
Yeah, it is.
What do you mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Who's gonna, like, choosing who's going to stay home and who's going to...
Correct. Most people both have to work.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
I mean, obviously...
Yeah, no, you're right.
There's still negotiations and stuff.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Obviously. I mean, I was raised by my dad. Like, my dad... I had a stay-at-home dad. And then when I grew up, I was like, it's kind of weird I had a stay-at-home parent. Period.
Yeah, right.
It is
right?
It's definitely special.
Yeah.
To be able to have had that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my wife is able to stay home and it's amazing.
It's like, so great.
I never ever wanted to go away. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
I'm saying that it's not reality for most people.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So
it is.
I think that it's this whole story of like, well, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And when you're having conversations in the movie, like, oh, was there a crisis because mom was away? Like, it feels like, yeah, that was in a sitcom in 1996. Like,
I mean, but that is my life.
I know.
And if I have a sitcom, it's going to have that. You know why? Because that's me and my wife and my story. So,
but
that sounds like, I feel like they were both capable. Yeah, I don't remember the first one, but like they both, it's not like they had jobs outside of being superheroes.
So he was an insurance.
Yes, he did.
He did.
He was an insurance adjuster. And
was she a stay-at-home mom?
She was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay.
And he was unfulfilled because he had a cubicle job instead of doing his true calling of being Superman, right? Okay. And then here, she gets to be fulfilled as Superwoman, but he's unfulfilled because he's not Superman and also because he doesn't understand new math. New math, what a dated joke.
Yeah.
That's something that my parents made jokes about.
Really? I thought this was a thing now. I thought like there's a new math. I think there's a new
math.
Yeah,
there's that Common Core stuff.
I don't have kids. So.
Right, and that's still a very much conversation that I hear probably 2 days a week outside of the school. Yeah.
There's an interesting thing happening in the room right now where me and Robin, the childless, are like, meh, and Aaron's like, yes.
Yeah,
and Camila, a new parent, is like, maybe.
Or Camila's thinking like, oh, shit. Yeah.
I'm like in a whole new realm here. It's like, you know, I keep learning new things.
I do really like how you were like, wait, am I going to be able to show my kid this movie? That's a
She's already been consuming Supernatural.
Yeah, can we just aside real quickly? You said Supernatural. So I just discovered that because in my life, I never, it's been on for a long time.
Yeah, like 15 years.
Okay, Christopher Columbus. Yeah.
No, me personally.
Have you ever like heard of it before? Or
yes.
Seriously? And I was how did that happen?
Okay, I'm too like punk. Rock and weird.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm telling you what my perception of the show.
Okay.
It's like these two, like, douchey 20-year-old dudes investigating ghosts and probably hitting on chicks on the CW. No thanks.
Well, basically,
I'm good.
That's what I thought, too.
Right.
And I was like, I wasn't into it at all. I was like, you know what? I don't need this show. This is not my life.
Yes.
I'm okay. But, you know,
and I was
you're
okay.
Home in the middle of the night.
What?
Like 14 seasons on Netflix. Okay.
So I am late at night feeling good, just like hanging out. I'm like, I'm out of shows or out of shows that I want to catch up on or watch or start.
Right.
I put on an interview with Cory Booker on Meet the Press. It was Ari Melber's show. Okay. And he asked him, what show do you relax at night would you throw on? And Cory Booker's like, well, I'm a big horror fan, paranormal fan, like I'm a nerd for that. Oh. Literally the words I say out of my mouth. He's like, so I'll throw on Supernatural. I'm like, son of a bitch, Cory Booker.
Cory Booker.
I was like, I'm gonna go check out this Supernatural. It's all on Netflix for free.
Exactly.
Not for free, but you know.
Yeah.
I put it on, I'm like, son of a bitch, Cory Booker. I've tweeted Cory Booker 3 times. Thanking him for Supernatural. I'm like, this is my new Midnight High show. This is the best.
It took me like 2 seasons to really get into it.
It is way before its time.
Yeah, I'm so into it. I'm in love with Jensen Ackles.
10 years before Grimm, which was kind of
mirror.
Right.
He's very pretty face.
Right. There was no shows. I mean, it got edgier than The X-Files.
Yeah.
Gorier than The X-Files.
There's an X-Files episode.
I know. I heard. I'm a nerd already. I'm not even in through season one, and I'm going to conventions.
Oh, man. Dude, there's so much ahead.
But what's his name? What's the book smart brother?
Sam.
I know. I saw Sam gets like long ass dumb hair.
Yeah,
I might skip a season. I don't even want to see it.
It's pretty sexy hair.
Well, I'm into Dean.
All right, I'll give him a chance.
And I'm sorry, this is going on too long. But
I used to be on this podcast.
Shut up.
Watch Sean. Supernatural. Like
a, we're talking about Sam and Dean, goddamn.
Sam and Dean Winchester, get with the program. So it's like, they have a lot of tongue-in-cheek moments, like, the more they get into it. And, like, the dude that plays Sam was on Gilmore Girls.
Mm-hmm. As Dean.
Yes, exactly. And there is, like, an episode where they're, like...
Am I going to watch Gilmore Girls now?
No, don't.
Okay.
They were on a WB lot, and they were getting ready to tour near the Gilmore Girls' house, and they have, like, this cute little tongue-in-cheek, like, no thanks, like, kind of moment. It's like, oh, I get it. So, I mean, they have some really...
I watched 6 seasons of that show in, like, a week. Yeah. And then... It got too complicated for me.
I'm on season 6 now.
Okay, it just that's where I was like, all right, this seems fun, but goodbye.
It's fun because I'm a nerd for all of that, like, you know, all of those cryptid stories and legends and myths and, you know, and then so each one I'm like, oh, this is the Hookman one. I'm a huge dork and I want to see how they do this.
Right. It's like, we're talking about, you know.
So, endorsement.
Did you see the one with the creepy painting yet?
No.
Okay. That's in the first season.
Despite being the 10th highest grossing film of all time, Incredibles 2 only spent 1 weekend at number 1. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom was released the following weekend, and it was nominated for Best Animated Feature, lost to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Woo! Wow, we still haven't gotten to the numbers yet.
1 week number 1 at the end of the year. Okay. No, it's fine that you did that then, because we've got a lot in You Can't Handle the Truth. So, The Supernatural Breakdown, a feature that will not be back.
So just look out for our separate podcast of Supernatural.
Right.
Supernaturalistas. Guys, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm the post-it man. I just pull topics off the board.
So what were you saying about this? The losing an Oscar?
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's fine. Anything else? We good? Good on the... So The Incredibles 2. Hey, the design is great. All the way on board with the look and the art, Art Deco. So music was excellent.
You know, the original Incredibles, mm-hmm. I discovered for myself, Michael Giacchino, and I have been a fan ever since.
Which guy that won't be president told you about The Incredibles? No, go on. It's okay. Go on.
Pete Buttigieg? thanks, Pete Buttigieg, for Incredibles.
Michael Giacchino, the score. Yeah. Excellent.
Michael Giacchino, incredible. And all the music, I followed him ever since that first Incredibles. And he's done some great film scores.
By the way, I'm now having about twice a year I'll be watching a movie. It happened last night. And I'm like, I didn't expect this kind of random-ass, middle-of-the-road thing to have the best score ever. Mm. Why am I loving this score? Oh, it's Hans Zimmer. Okay, it's Hans Zimmer doing another score that is too good for the movie it's in.
He's got bills to pay.
Yeah, yeah. And I actually thought... As much as it wasn't funny throughout, its physical comedy was so good. Mm. Particularly, like, every time Jack shot through the ceiling, I laughed my ass off.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it had enough moments of great physical comedy that I was fine with it. Here's, I think, I would have to go back and watch the original first. This movie thinks it has so much to say. Like, thinks it is... You know, when we were teenagers and we were like, oh, he's so deep. Right. Brad Bird thinks
Tony
he's
Ridinger.
Deep, right? And everything that this is going over, like, you know that there was a Marvel Cinematic Universe in between these two movies, right? And everything that you had, like every point you had about superheroes and their role in the world has been exhaustively explored by those movies.
Yeah.
So you're saying, hey, we're satirizing the superhero genre. It's been done. This is like Scary Movie coming out and parodying Scream. Scream was the parody.
I don't know if it was that exhausted in Marvel movies. I don't. I think
this is the plot of Civil War.
Yeah, there's not as much like government like talks and stuff. Even like there's a little more in this cartoon, I think, that is in Civil War. And X-Men tried to do all that, and it was farts.
Yeah. No.
And so did Star Wars.
But that's the thing. Like, the main role here is to be half of a superhero movie and half of a commentary on superhero movies.
Yeah.
We get that 3 times a year.
Sure.
Like, I don't think you have anything to say. I think it's a beautiful, entertaining, beautifully directed. If you actually look at the direction and the choreography of the way the fights are set up, great. Sounds great. Looks great. Not exactly like a profound film at all.
I just kind of feel like if the government's like, hey, don't do this, I'm like, okay, well, fuck it. Like, if you don't want our help, fuck you then.
I hear what you're saying, though. That's the one thing you notice, like, watching with kids. You see that they do try to push maybe one or two many themes, like more serious themes. You're like, okay, just stick to like two things, right. three things. Mm-hmm. But you're right. There were a lot of like, but what about this issue in the world? Wink.
Yeah. Right.
And there was like five or six of those. You're like, right. okay.
And then they tried at the very last minute to throw in one more when the little girl's like, so it's too bad she'll just get off with a slap at the wrist because she's rich.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, that's just wow.
Right,
that
right.
That was a real, like, it felt like an ad lib.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, do you think, though, that, like, I see this more and more now, is that now everybody is including this in their scripts because that's what they think people want. They want to be the woke script.
Right.
They want to show everybody that they're paying attention to what people care about. And I guarantee they're hiring probably more politically minded comedians for punch up work because they're saying like, how could we make a statement about our women's story arc right. in this one?
I think you're being cynical, not too cynical, but I think you're being cynical.
I'm being too cynical.
And I think I know as someone.
That's a harsh word.
I mean, it's like Elastigirl talks about her cynical and her believer side, right? It's like your cynical side, my believer side. And I don't know if you do this with your stand-up, but like I know I do it with my comedy, is I'm like, I feel a little guilty, right? I'm like, why am I spending so much energy on nonsense laugh-em-ups and podcasts about movies when the whole world is burning down?
Yeah.
So then you're like, oh, guys, I'm aware that the world is burning down, right? I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
You know that I know,
right? Yeah, right,
right. Okay?
Like every Facebook post.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to let you know I care about this too.
I care about this too. Here's another tweet about lipstick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
We should roll on. Does anyone have any parting notes before we give this thing a rating?
I mean, if people would just stop looking at their screens.
Oh, God. I'm exasperated.
But where's the lie, though?
The only other note I had was I watched it with Mary Beth, and the first thing she said was, "I wish more boys would wear turtlenecks." Yeah, good enough. Good enough.
Nope. Tony good enough. Bride injury is not good enough for you, Violet.
But yeah, but the turtleneck look is fine.
Mm. We've all been there, though. That middle school crush.
I know. That's why I'm so. That's why I'm so mad.
Like you want to take it personally,
right? Yeah, exactly. It's like I want to go back and talk to my sixth grade self. Like, hey, what's wrong with you?
Oh, live action Tony Reidinger would be played by Timmy Chalamet.
Oh, absolutely. Surprised he didn't do the voice. Once again, Aaron, you missed this. So Robin Hitchcock has become accidentally giving everything the score, the average score every time.
She's the score whisperer.
The score whisperer. So Robin.
She's the factoid.
Robin,
what are you?
The Faxi.
Faxi. Robin Faxi. Notes her score, but
she
ask
numbers.
It last, so we see if it works out that way. So alphabetical by first name, skipping Robin. Aaron, what is your rating for The Incredibles 2?
Oh, I will give it a 89.
89.
Wow.
Camila Adams.
67.
That is actually my score as well. Gave it a 67.
Wow. Well, I'm not hitting the average on this one.
Ooh, you're going to hate kids and stuff when you
I'm not having those things.
Robin gives it a 58.
Ooh, wow.
58.
Average score 70.25.
You guys need to find more joy. Holy moly. It's fun movie.
Yeah, that's and that's and that's it. What was that, Robin? 58?
58.
58 for the record. It's a fun movie. End of sentence. I bumped it up from last year. When I rated it last year when it came out, I gave it a 6.
Do you know what? I gave a better score than this.
Yeah.
Sharky's Machine.
Yes! That's crazy!
But I had more fun watching Sharky's Machine.
Aaron.
I can't debate that. That's okay.
Exactly.
Joy.
Fun factor.
Aaron's elevation still is enough to make Incredibles 2 our third highest rated film behind only Kiss the Girls and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, just ahead of Talladega Nights. So nice placement.
I feel like something's got to unseat Kiss the Girls.
Right. We're still on Kiss the Girls, the best movie we've watched. Really? All right. And it would have been average into the 80s if I hadn't anchored it with a 52. So, well, maybe we will draw that in a moment. Before that, we will get to You Can't Handle the... Right? Did I get... No, I second-guessed myself.
Yes.
Last time I was like, it's time for the number one movie in America. No, wait. That's already the
We're
thing.
We're already doing
it's
that.
It, okay. Okay, you can't handle the truth. That's the segment and the thing. Aaron, talk about Godzilla, because I haven't seen it yet.
I very much enjoyed the first one. I enjoyed the complimentary King Kong Skull Island. It was a fun big monster action movie. And I was the trailer for the new Godzilla was made me excited. Because,
what a great trailer.
Oh, my gosh.
What a great trailer.
Like, I mean, it's full of just toy monsters. Mm-hmm. I mean, that look incredible. But... And I'm sitting there like, I'm Dolby, IMAX. I want it all. Put it in me. And it was a lot of fun, once again, like movies do. We were just saying, like, they try to, like, mention little issues. They're like, but world debts, like, and then they're just, you're like, wait, what are you talking?
Yeah, there were,
you know.
What I said when I saw it was 45 minutes of it are great. And the rest is kind of boring and happens.
A lot of just, like, people just trying to decide on what to do.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Debating each other. And I was like,
you know. I don't really care about the characters. And then there were points where it seemed like they wanted me to.
Yeah.
And I was like, I definitely do not care about this lady who set the monsters free.
Do you think that that's one of my only problems with these kind of bigger monster movies, aliens, is that they try to put too many humans in there.
Yeah.
And like we care about 9 of these people. Just give us 3.
Yeah.
Remember E.T.?
Part of it, I think, is for this movie is like the international appeal factor.
Yes,
like
yes, yes.
Zhi Zhang, I don't know if you say their name that way. She's there so people in China will be excited, right? And like Ken Watanabe gets to be a more important character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's in it?
Yeah. She's so beautiful.
She is.
She's so
but
beautiful.
But overall, I mean.
But yeah, but like.
Watching
and then there's
monsters,
the white people, and yeah. I'm like, I'm kind of bored with you.
Yeah. But, I mean, once you get in between those, you know, which are fine. They're not, like, make me – I did run out and get more, like, icy.
I was like, going to say, I went and got a soda,
as soon
and
as
it
I
was
saw,
a really long line, and I was probably out there for 10 minutes. And when I came back home, I was like, did I miss anything? He's like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I just knew that as soon as I saw people in a room around computer screens –
That's also when I went.
I was like, time to pee. Because they're going to be like, but what do we do? What do you do?
Yep.
What would you do? Blow them up.
Like,
I can write the script.
The monster fighting part is so much fun. I kept involuntarily clapping.
Being in our generation of growing up to, like, you know, creature effects and practical effects, and now seeing CGI in this way.
Yeah.
Like, literally seeing Godzilla from the 50s when I was a kid being like, this is amazing.
I thought
love
it was
this.
The coolest thing in the world.
My son loves it.
Yeah.
You know, like, still. And then seeing this now, yeah, I'm a big kid, and this is dope. It's so awesome.
I super geeked out over the Mothra stuff.
Oh!
Super
glorious.
Geek. Like,
a
when
glorious,
they played the Mothra theme
oh,
music,
yes.
I was like, it's happening!
I'm turning, I'm like, this is the theme music. Each monster has their own music. Have you watched Supernatural?
They talk about Godzilla in an episode of Supernatural.
Yes, they do.
I would go if you told me it was bad, because one of my manifesto theories about movies is 3 things are inherently cinematic. Cowboys, beautiful women who are a little bit sad, and giant monsters. Like, any of those 3 things. It's like, yep, it's a movie and it's good. So,
Cowboys?
Yeah, Cowboys.
I like how that's the one you question.
Love Cowboys.
I totally get beautiful women who are sad.
Yeah.
Even monsters, sure. But the Cowboys?
Yeah.
Mothra is a beautiful woman who's sad.
Exactly.
Beautiful women who are sad. Is that Melania's podcast after the presidency? Boom.
No, just picture Isabella Rossellini singing in Blue Velvet. That is inherently cinematic.
Boom. Exactly. Callback. Incredibles 2 did a voice.
Did she?
Incredibles 2.
Oh, she's the ambassador?
Yeah, she's the ambassador.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking, I should look up who that is.
I want her to just read me things.
Let me tell you about Dark Phoenix. Actually, I liked it.
Interesting.
I feel like you're kind of wavering on that.
I liked it in such a distant way. Like, if you sit me down and say, so is this a good movie? Like, probably average to maybe no. Mm. Here's the thing. It is super duper sad. And that is such a fresh note for a superhero movie. Like, not like angry, tragic. Like, it is just melancholy, this movie. It is just a sad movie.
Like, they're playing it pretty close to the comics.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you wouldn't be able to.
I do not know.
Okay. So, I loved that comic. And so,
I know,
like,
people really do.
It's,
yeah.
And because it is sad, I am definitely intrigued. But I've heard a lot of people on Twitter keep being like, I'm not really allowed to tweet about this until tomorrow, but woo.
It's 10 p.m. Pacific tonight.
That's okay, well, a lot of people are
just
like,
you professional folk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, thanks.
So is it, right. I heard someone say too that it has like Logan-like qualities too, like it's like a kind of a sad
well,
personal story.
This is where Professor Xavier starts drinking. We see him start drinking in this movie. And what really is interesting about it to me is this is mostly about the thing where his project failed the hardest. That his whole thing is to bring these kids in and teach them to control their powers and protect them and change people's opinion through that. And Dark Phoenix is about all of that completely going wrong. Hmm. And the X-Men franchise has been this kind of like stepchild superhero franchise existing in the background of the big boom for 20 years
that
works and sometimes doesn't. So for it to end on this, hey guys, we failed note is just really interesting to me.
That isn't like meta
right.
textually. That is very interesting.
Like I'm thinking about how this is the end of the run.
This is supposed
to be the last one because they got bought
and so they're going to have new.
They'll be
Disney
in the MCU.
Versions.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's 10 years like too late. They should have.
Yeah.
Talk about like just really waiting until you're really just done.
But
like,
here's the thing is that the first Blade and X-Men are the forebears of our current cinematic universe, right? If those movies weren't as good as they were, we wouldn't have any of the MCU. Mm-hmm. So they have different approaches, but basically what they both did was take the subject matter seriously but still have fun, which is what I think Incredibles 2 failed to do.
is Professor Xavier's alcoholism canon?
I don't know.
You're like, this is where he starts drinking?
Well, you see the end of that in Logan, that he's just like broken down old guy.
Okay.
It's an interesting franchise because the two that kind of like traditional knowledge shouldn't have worked, Deadpool and Logan, are the best ones. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the one that should have been a gimme, an origin story for Wolverine, is the worst one.
But look at the movies you just mentioned that were good. They let somebody else have more control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, where were you when, like, Iron Man started crushing records? And you were like, you know what? Maybe we should just let them do these.
Right. I think,
like, I want to see a Russo Brothers X-Men. I don't care. Erase all of them.
I don't care. This was the long game all along.
It's such a waste of time.
I think
I'm going to disagree with you there just because they already did it in X-Men 2.
Yeah.
So I think that
Not that Dark Phoenix was the long game.
Okay. I'm like, it would be very weird to be like, okay, so let's do the Dark Phoenix story a little tiny bit. And then 16 years from now, we're going to do it for real.
I think the MCU's long game was, we know at some point between 2020 and 2025, we're going to lose some steam. And the moment that steam is let out, the X-Men are showing
up. Sure.
Yeah. I think that was the plan
absolutely. All
along. I think they're like, let them do what they want. We're going to remake them in 10 years.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
And I'm fine with it.
Let's go.
Yes, let's do it again.
On some level, I enjoyed all of them. And I really got into it when we went back and Michael Fassbender shows up.
And his beautiful face.
First class was the best one.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Yes. So, let's do it.
Yeah, I would kind of coolly recommend Dark Phoenix if you're a comic book person. Same thing with Brightburn. If you watch every comic book movie, you should watch Brightburn. It's not a great movie, but I think you should see it.
Nah.
And you don't have to. It's just an interesting take. Did you see Brightburn? No. It is not. It is less a movie than it's an argument. And that argument is, hey, by the way, if you drop an alien into a field and just have two normal people try to raise them, it's not going to go well. He's going to be fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, no, that's a solid argument, and I'm glad somebody made it.
It's a Comic-Con 2 a.m. argument, like, you know, what if Superman was bad? And then finally someone wrote
Comic-Con
the script.
2 a.m.
I'm not kidding. I'm not.
I'm just marveling at the beauty.
I couldn't believe it's been this long to have a movie like this.
I completely agree. And it feels weird that they're acting like this is like a revolutionary idea.
There's seriously 200,000 nerds who are like, I wrote that movie in 97.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not good, but if you are going to every superhero movie, I would say you should probably also go.
Sure.
And Always Be My Maybe is a delight. And
so
that,
great.
I saw that joyful.
Keanu.
God love him.
Keanu's just been like, yes, okay, Keanu. But this scene, this little portion in this movie, I am now, it's like I heart Keanu Reeves now. Huh.
Welcome aboard.
It's like, hey, I'm catching up on the bandwagon. Let me hop on.
This is like, I do not want to be a cool kid and be like, I liked Keanu Reeves before it was cool. But I've liked Keanu Reeves since I saw Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure when I was six. And I've never given up, and I've been brutally mocked for years, and now everyone loves him, and mm-hmm. welcome aboard. You're welcome, everyone. Let's party.
Right.
I did walk out of Constantine, and I stand by that.
Dude, nope. Constantine is brilliant.
Thank you. Yes, Constantine is great. That movie's great.
I'm just bored.
I hope we get it.
It wasn't even like Team America World Police I walked out of because it's a terrible movie that should never have been made. But like Constantine I walked out of like, I'm more bored here than I would be not being here.
Peter Stormare.
That's awesome.
Like, I'm just always excited when he shows up on screen anyway. Busy. And I just love the moment where Constantine summons him and is like, you know I'm not your favorite. I'm not even welcome in your house, but I could use a little attention right now. That's the sweetest.
Yeah, I dig that movie.
If you didn't watch Always Be My Maybe, one day this weekend, I want you to order delivery and watch it, and that will be a better date night than if you had left your house.
I like it.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
But what's not going to be a good date night is When They See Us. That's Ava DuVernay's four-part series on the Central Park Five. That's so...
I haven't watched it yet, and I want to. I also follow her on Twitter because I adore her, and I had to mute her on Twitter because she was retweeting other people reacting with their emotions. And I was like, okay.
That's one of those things where...
It's like it feels like homework, which is horrible.
I've watched the trailer 3 times in the past week, and I'm just like, am I ready for this evening? No, I just, you know, it's like you want to prepare yourself in a way where you're like, I want to soak this in.
Right.
Right.
And this is not like, I want to learn something.
And then that's the thing is that like, so the 13th was so good.
Yeah,
and that is the same kind of thing where it's like, you know, especially I'm like, as a white person, I need to sit down
and
that's think exactly on what, these things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then she's such a good filmmaker that you do successfully learn stuff, but you're also like riveted and entertained.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you've watched it.
Oh yeah, and
does it work that way?
It's, you know what, I should not have watched all 4 parts back to back to back. Like I wasn't really, I don't know what I was doing. I don't know what I was thinking, why I did
it
that way.
You were charging.
You're like, you know what I would like to do? I would like to ruin my day.
You were like, I'm going to leave this house. I'm going to swear to
you. Yes. No, and I think that was probably the safe thing was that I knew I wasn't leaving the house for a couple days. So I was probably like, you know, this is going to be safe for me to do this.
If my face gets puffy from crying, no one will see it.
Or I'm not going to, you know, like spontaneously just like go off and like stab somebody. It's just, you know, I mean, yeah, it was a lot of sobbing, and it's just it's really you do learn a lot about what happened in that case specifically. And it's, you know, we all, I would say most black people already know anyway, because we were there. It was just 1989, and you know, there have been many documentaries, there have been other like movies about it, but it's just like, you know, this, the way she presents everything to you, this is more about, it's, you, we learn about the system, but it's more about what those poor boys went through personally. And that's what really fucked me up.
Yeah.
Is watching those babies just get abused and taken advantage of and just, you know, tricked and just...
You can't be detached.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's just like... And kudos to all of the actors that played the young men and then the adult versions of them. And, oh my God. And I hate Felicity Huffman even more now. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, curious timing career wise.
Right,
for
exactly.
Her.
Wait, does she play the bad guy?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She's the head. She plays the head of the sex crimes unit.
Oh, no.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
Ooh, this woman in real life is like, she's written like crime novels or something?
Yeah, yeah. And hopefully it seems like she's going to get canceled, as
exactly.
they say.
Yeah.
So good. She deserves
it. Yeah.
But strong recommendation, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just be all prepared. Right.
Yep. And then also we talked about 2 other TV shows. Can I just say Fleabag season 2 is perfect. Watch it. Oh my God.
I don't have Amazon Prime.
Well, what? Okay.
Yeah, I would. I would get Amazon Prime, and as soon as I got through Mrs. Maisel, I would get to it. But
okay. Get Amazon Prime and then do that, and then also watch Sneaky
Pete. Do you not have Amazon Prime for justice reasons?
No, I'm just like, I don't... I don't want to have all of them. I want to not have one, and that's the one
but
that I've chosen.
But that's the one that also comes with fast shipping.
Yeah, you should have that. You should have that.
Well, Hulu and Spotify bundled. Did you hear about now? Now you get both of them for one price.
Really?
So. Oh, yeah.
You that's Hulu because Hulu is like, we're going to be gone in a minute.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Let's draw a movie. Godzilla
How long
King
is this episode been so far?
We're going to set a record. Godzilla King of the Monsters is, of course, in the mix now. Congratulations to the latest number one movie in America. The number is 988. 988. And I'm scrolling and I'm scrolling. And we've already done 988. It's the sum of all fears. So we're drawing again. Robin, weird. Feel free to edit.
Wow. No, that's fascinating.
I'm playing that number tonight.
Yeah, play 988 on the daily.
Does anybody have an uncle that says that or a grandma?
My grandmother used to.
Yeah. Play that number.
And then it came up. And then for the Us fans, it came up with 11-11.
Nice. Mm. Which I started watching this morning again.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
11-11 is What About Bob?
Yes!
Wow.
One of the best comedies of all time.
Reaction.
All time. Underrated.
Oh, it makes my lips numb just thinking about it.
It's like we won something.
We did.
Yeah, this is the one we've been writing
this
for.
This is going to beat out Kiss the Girls. This is going to be the one.
I've never seen it.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we're doing this.
We're doing What About
Bob? Has been
Leo
for this moment.
Marvin.
This is why we watched Elysium, people.
So Sean, it's one of the most underrated Bill Murray movies of all time.
I'm pumped. I'm excited.
Oh
that's
God.
Great.
Everybody in it is.
Yes.
And finally, Incredibles 2 went to number one June 15th of 2018. Were any of us still paying attention to hit songs?
Nope. I'm assuming it's Taylor Swift.
No.
No.
No one's going to get
Lil
it.
Lil Yachty.
No. I don't even think that's how you pronounce that.
Yes, it is.
Do you have any
Trust
clues
me.
Or anything?
Let's try.
I listen to trap rap, okay?
This guy looks like a douchebag. That's my clue.
Justin Bieber?
No.
The guy from Maroon 5?
I was just going to Adam Levine?
Yeah.
Good guesses on douchebags, but no.
Post Malone.
Post Malone is
gross.
Correct.
Oh.
Gross.
Post Malone featuring Ty Dolla $ign, Psycho, was the number one movie in America.
Number one song.
I'm sorry, it was the number one song in America. I saw the video in the course of the research. It would not have been the number one movie in America.
Yeah.
But I am
interesting
looking.
Interesting because Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is the only good use of Post Malone ever.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, some people tell me he's okay,
no.
And then
okay.
I look at him and I'm like,
nope.
No, you're not allowed to be okay.
No, I'll never know.
I'm not accepting
Sunflower's a good song.
A world where you're. Hey, thanks as always to Addie Twig on the theme song.
So not only does she have her amazing vocals on there, she recently remixed it for us, and it sounds better than ever.
Oh, snap.
So thank you. And if you like what you hear, you should definitely check out her band, The Telephone Line.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. And if you listen to this episode the day it drops, they're at Market Square today. So go listen to them.
Oh, nice. Outside in the plain
in the world.
Yeah.
Just having a nice time. You're sitting. You go get a Permani sandwich after that.
Right.
It'll be great.
If it's after June 15th, then go to telephonelineband.com and look at all their other dates.
They're doing a lot of cool stuff this summer.
And they're really good.
Thanks, Addie.
I love them.
They're so good. Thanks, Addie, for two consecutive podcasts worth of theme songs. I'm going to go watch What About Bob right now.
Yay!
See you next time.
Number one.